You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Each and every day here on the Jeff Calkins Show, we welcome Chris Harrington to the program. Let's fire it up. Chris Harrington joins us now. Chris, what are we listening to?
It's Making Time by The Creation, a little 60s garage rock, probably familiar from the Rushmore soundtrack, perhaps. Sending out to Zach Kleiman and his staff, Making Time last night, with four agreements in the first 68 minutes of NBA free agency.
I made the joke to George earlier. It felt like Zach was just ready to go on vacation.
Yes.
So he's like, he like got everything done ahead of time. But I guess let's start with what George and I have struggled with. Because like every time we're texting last night as they were making deals, how were they able to actually accomplish all of this?
There are NBA rules and there are wink wink NBA rules, but when you're talking about your own guys, like they, you know, that the Santi, Jaren, and Cam stuff, I'm sure has been done for a long time, and that could have leaked out. I was worried it was going to leak out like on Saturday or Sunday.
Sure.
I wasn't going to wait for 5 p.m. on that. And so I was sort of on alert that one of those things might not the Cam, because whatever, but the Jaren Santi was going to come out early. So I think that was in the can. I think the Ty Jerome thing, now, and technically, you're not supposed to start negotiating with outside free agents until 5 p.m., but we all know that, like, back-channel discussions are happening all over the league all the time. And I don't know that they knew that was in their pocket when they woke up on Monday morning. I don't even know if they knew exactly it was in their pocket when the clock struck at 5 p.m., but I think it was sort of lined up and, like, you know, like, came. Ty Jerome, like most other free agents, sort of knows the landscape, and these are the offers that are going to be out there. And like, you know, some people make a choice quick and some people let it linger. But it was interesting. The Ty Jerome is definitely the one I didn't totally see coming.
How were they able to make the money work? Because that's where George and I were starting to get confused.
Well, they were able to make the money work because Ty Jerome took less than people thought he would on the market. When it got reported... When the rumor first started with Ty Jerome, when it was reported on Mark Stein, it was kind of confusing because it said, you know, the Grizzlies are one of the teams most interested in Ty Jerome. And it said the Grizzlies are trying to move Cole Anthony's contract. And it put those things in the same paragraph. And what I said on the show yesterday was they're not trying to move Cole Anthony's contract to sign Ty Jerome. They're trying to move Cole Anthony's contract to re-up Jaren. And so I'm not sure how they're going to get Ty Jerome because all they have to offer is the 8.8 room exception.
Right.
Guess what? Ty Jerome took the 8.8 million room exception. And that's what I didn't see coming. When I wrote about the offseason over the weekend and then, you know, talked to this yesterday, the way I thought it was going to play out was very similar to what happened with one big exception. I thought they probably had an agreement set up with Jaren. They did. I thought because they had added salary at the draft, they were going to have to move off the Cole Anthony contract, not the Conchar contract, to free up the money to do the Jaren deal. That seems to be what's about to happen. I thought they were going to re-sign Santi in a deal in 16 to 19 million range, which is what I wrote a couple weeks ago. That happened. I thought for better or worse, and I'm not so sure about that, they were going to add Cam Spencer to the main roster. And I
thought, that also goes to your point about yesterday, or your point from your column yesterday, which is listen to when they talk. Like,
yeah,
Zach Kleiman went out of his way to praise.
That's been clear from the jump. I'm just saying, I'm not sure it's the right move.
Yeah.
And then I thought, after they did all that to retain their own guys and move off the money for Jaron, I thought they're going to use the room exception to add a veteran rotation player, but they are not going to make the big, bold trade people, some people were wanting after Bane, where you package more first-round picks and go trade for a star. So all of that to this point has happened. The exception is I thought that they were going to use the room exception. They were more likely to use the room exception to sign a big.
Yeah.
And I thought that was for two reasons. One, I thought that's the biggest, most pressing need you have. But two, I thought that's where the market was going to take them. Because I thought, you know, there are bigs out there who might fit around that number. Like Luke Kornet, who went for a little bit more than that. Clint Capella went for a little less, etc. When you looked at the free agents on the perimeter, I looked at it and I thought, okay, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, not getting him for the room exception.
No.
And he signed for a lot more. I looked at it and I thought, Caris LeVert, not getting him for the room exception. And he signed for a lot more. And I looked at it and I thought, Ty Jerome, not getting him for the room exception. They did. They got him for the room exception.
Yeah, so were you expecting MLE for him?
Yeah, or certainly more. It's a pretty big gap between this 8.8 to 14. So I thought it would be somewhere in between those numbers. But I thought the market for him, he finished third and sixth man of the year.
Yeah.
And he's a guy who can play on and off ball. He had a terrific season for the Cavs last year. He's only 27. I think everybody thought he was going to get a lot more than this. And then, you know, he had that terrible series in round two against the Pacers. And he's on this Cleveland team that, like, they have one of the highest payrolls in the league, and they just decided, you know, they weren't gonna re-sign him and Sam Merrill, and their offseason went in such a way they ended up doing the Merrill thing. But still, you look around the league, and it seems like Dennis Schroeder is about to sign $14 million a year to go play in Sacramento, and, like, I don't know, but I'd rather have Ty Jerome at this point than Dennis Schroeder.
No, I kind of think yesterday, and again, George and I were talking about this, I don't know if this is, maybe this year is an anomaly. Because it's entirely possible that in reality, there were really only two teams that had a lot of cap room, and it was the Nets and it was the Wizards. But it felt to me like a lot of the people that thought they were going to get a bunch of big money in free agency, the only way you really kind of got paid was if you stayed with your team. To your point, like, they have the mechanisms to pay more.
Yeah. I mean, the Nets obviously decided they were going to use their cap space via trade. And they made the big move to take on the Michael Porter Jr. contract.
Shout out to Denver.
And get a juicy first-round pick for that. But there were enough teams out there who could, either with the mid-level exception, the full mid-level, or with some trade exceptions. Like Atlanta had a trade exception.
Yeah.
They were able to take Nickeil Alexander-Walker in for more than the full mid-level. But I just thought there were enough landing spots above that 8.8 number, which is all the Grizzlies could offer, that it never occurred to me that he would – not only that he would be available for that amount, but even if he were available for that amount, he would come to a team where he's clearly in a bench role. There's no avenue for him to start as long as John Morant's healthy, which he is not always, and maybe that was part of his decision. I don't know. Maybe Ty Jerome looked at it and thought, well, you know, I'll start 25 games for the Grizzlies next year. You know, that could be part of it.
Well, honestly, he probably thought, who else is shooting the basketball?
Yeah, well, there's that too. It's an interesting fit because it's another small, he's 6'5", he's not tiny, but it's another, like, guard-sized player, right? And this team, and this sort of brings me back to why I scratched my head a little bit at the Cam Spencer, they got a lot of smaller guys, they don't have a lot of size, but with Bane gone, they already needed more ball handling, because last season, Grizzlies had this terrible turnover problem. Even with John Bane, they had this terrible turnover problem, so ball handling, I think, was going to be a need no matter what. And then, like, Ja has tendency to miss games, and that exacerbates the depth problem. And then I think the coaching change, because when they went into last season, they chose not to carry a third point guard. And I think they looked at it and thought, we can play without true point guards. And I think in the system Taylor Jenkins was trying to put in, that sort of made sense. I think Isolo wants to play more lead guard-oriented basketball. So when you factor in the turnover problems they need to get past, needing to probably cover some time when Ja's going to miss some games, at least you hope not as many as last year, he's going to miss some games, and that the system itself is going to put more emphasis on guard ball handling, it made sense that they were going to want to add another ball handler to the mix. And then when you lose Bane, and you already know you're going to lose Kennard, you've lost some shooting too. And so when you think about that, we want more ball handling and more shooting. Like, put those in one player who can play in different backcourts, like, it's actually a really good fit. Because I think Ty Jerome, I think they really like the idea of Jerome and Pippen together. I think you're going to see that backcourt feature together a lot off the bench. But they already know they can play Pippen with Ja because of Pippen's defense, and he can shoot off the ball. And I think a Ja Morant, Ty Jerome backcourt is going to be get roasted on defense sometimes if you play them against the wrong opponents.
But it might score.
But it's going to work on offense, 100%. Yeah. It could be really, really good on offense.
No, it almost feels like before Luke hurt his shoulder in the Lakers series, when they started experimenting more, something like you'd been asking for is like, hey, try this with Kennard, with the starters, and see if it works.
Right.
And it really did. Who knows about the sample size, but it did work. It feels like it could be in that vein.
There was an interesting stretch sort of mid-late in the season. The stretch where Luke Kennard played his best basketball last year, which was sort of right around the trade deadline, right? He was playing much more aggressively. Not just as a shooter, but as a ball handler, playmaker.
Yep.
And it didn't last. But there was a stretch where he was playing really well. He was being much more aggressive at putting the ball on the floor and trying to make things happen. And there was a stretch there, and I remember talking to Luke about this in the locker room after the game once, where he was really developing good chemistry with Zach Edey.
Yeah.
In a way that Pippen hadn't, honestly, where he was really finding Edey, you know, on pick and roll stuff. And, like, if you take that stretch and look at how Kennard played in that stretch, where he was paying pick and roll with Edey, he was getting in the lane, and he still had the shooting threat, he couldn't sustain that for more than 2 weeks. But that 2 weeks, that's Ty Jerome.
Yeah.
Like that's Ty Jerome, you know, because he's a 40% three-point shooter too, but he can put the ball on the floor, he can make passes, he can, you know, make plays.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have to just be a catch-and-shoot guy. Like, the numbers suggest that he can shoot off the dribble as well.
Starting point guard for your national champion Virginia Cavaliers.
There you go, wahoo-wah.
Yeah.
If the idea is, okay, you weren't going to replace Desmond Bane with a Desmond Bane comp, but the idea is to replace him in the aggregate, do you think that they have the ability to do that next year?
The short answer is maybe yes. I'll do the short answer first, but I think there's a bigger answer that I think is more important there.
All right.
I think there's a chance that this could end up being, you know, kind of a lateral move talent-wise, which is when you trade, in terms of impact, when you trade a player of Desmond Bane's caliber, you're not expecting to happen. But they basically replaced Bane and Kennard with Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Ty Jerome, right?
Yep.
And so when you sort of add all that together and the improved defense from KCP and the handle, because Ty Jerome, KCP's a better defender than any of these other four players. So these four players are talking about KCP's the best defender.
Yep.
Ty Jerome is the best ball handler playmaker. They are both career plus three-point shooters. Now, Ty Jerome had a career best season last year. KCP had a career worst. But their career numbers are like 38, 40% three-point shooters. So when you talk about you don't have as much pure scoring like you had with Desmond Bane, Desmond Bane's clearly the best player of this group, but collectively, you may have improved your defense collectively, improved your ball handling collectively while still maintaining some shooting. And so that it kind of could work, but the real play is you added Cedric Howard, who's the upside play. And I think that's the key to this whole thing. And that's what I wrote about over the weekend when I wrote that the Grizzlies are not, they're not all in for November of 2025. They're thinking, and they're also not blowing it up and rebuilding. They're taking a medium-term approach. We're trying to reshape this roster around Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson. Now you have Jaren Jackson wrapped up. And we're not trying to do it all in one summer. Now, we're not trying to take a long time to do it, but we're looking at this summer, we're looking at the trade deadline, and we're looking at next summer when we have that Phoenix pick, which is the number one asset we got from the Bane trade. And so I think part of the decision to sign Ty Jerome instead of, you know, a center or some other position was just best player available.
Yeah.
Who is the best player available that we
can,
who is the best
at the price that
who
we
is
can
the
afford,
best
yeah.
talent we can add for $8.8 million, not just for November of this season and not just for this season, but in terms of value over the length of the contract that's going to elevate the talent level of the team most. And I think they decided that was Ty Jerome.
I'm not even trying to be like Homer because I feel like I'm pretty realistic with the team. I kind of like what they're actually doing, because I think this team is more athletic. I think this team, like, in the end, the turnovers were a problem. The biggest problem that I saw with them last year is they couldn't stop anybody.
Yeah.
Like, if anyone that had was above average, they couldn't stop. I feel like this team actually is pretty athletic.
In the short term, and again, I don't think their primary focus is short term. I think it's medium term. But in the short term, I'm concerned about the front court and the physicality. I think even with Zach Edey, you could use more size and physicality
sure.
in the front court. And when you take Zach Edey out of the mix, they're pretty small and pretty finessey in the front court, and I worry about the size, and that's where I get back to the Cam Spencer thing, because they didn't do the kind of deal on Cam Spencer that they've done on all these other guys, on Pippen, on Vince Williams, on Gigi Jackson. All these other guys, they've signed them to four-year deals, roughly minimum four-year deals with team options in year three and year four, which is low downside, high upside if the guy hits, right? Yep. That's not what they did with Cam Spencer, because they wanted to use the full room exception for Ty Jerome. And if you're just signing a guy to a straight minimum, you can't do it for more than 2 years.
Yep.
And so they signed Cam Spencer just a straight two-year minimum contract. So it doesn't have that upside on the back end. I think Cam Spencer might be pretty good, but what's the upside? Ninth, tenth man? Like, it's more of a Conchar kind of guy, right? I don't think there's a real upside there anyway. And now you already have Ja Morant, Ty Jerome, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Scottie Pippen, Vince Williams Jr. has been pushed down to fifth on the guard depth chart.
Yep.
All those guys are 6'5 and under. I just feel like you've used up a roster spot you could have used, like, to go sign another big, you know?
Well, I think that's the question. What would have been out there?
Well, I think there's not great stuff out there, but, like, you know.
Well, because, I mean, I made the point.
I could throw out names. Like, Larry Nance Jr., can you get him for a minimum? Jericho Sims, can you get him for a minimum? I think there are guys out there who would impact the team more next season on a minimum contract than Cam Spencer probably will.
I mean, I made the point to Jeff. If we're just talking about, you're just trying to spackle over and you're just trying to get through at the beginning when Zach.
I think that's what they're doing. Like, right.
Gorgui Dieng gave them some meaningful minutes once upon a time, like completely off the scrap heap. Like,
right, but they don't have a roster spot, is what I'm saying. They're at 16 right now when they do whatever buyout or wave combination they're going to do with Cole Anthony. That's going to get them to 15. So the question is, if you want to add a big that's not on a two-way, you got to free up a roster spot. So does that mean you're trading Jay Huff, who is one of your bigs?
Yeah.
He's not that kind of big? Are you trying to move off Conchar? That's why I wonder about not only putting the Cam Spencer on the main roster, but doing it like the second the clock strikes in free agency, you know, to take up that roster spot. I just wonder about that. That's a minor criticism and what otherwise I think was a pretty good day.
Yeah. I got the sense, were you expecting to see, because I thought once upon a time when we talked that you thought eventually they could get to that point with Cam, but I didn't know. I was not expecting that to happen last night.
No, I wasn't either. I thought they would wait on it because what's the hurry? I mean, is some team going to put out a big offer sheet on Cam Spencer like in the first hour of free agency? I don't think they are. So I'm not sure what the hurry was with that.
Maybe Zach wanted to go on vacation.
I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of. They have a tendency to really get smitten with the guys that they draft.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of those. So sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't.
We also have just gotten the news that Miles Turner is signing with Milwaukee.
Oh, wow.
4-year, $107 million deal.
That has to be a trade because they don't have the money to pay that. So that's some kind of trade.
Stretch and wave Damian Lillard.
Oh, whoa.
What a remaking there.
Well, there you go. That'll free up money in a hurry.
Yeah, it will.
Has that been reported? Or?
Yeah, that's Sean's, okay. Like, right now.
Are Biggs back?
Biggs are back, baby.
Biggs can freeze.
Because everyone's talking about, well, how's Houston going to do with all these centers? And then it's like, you look at Dallas. Dallas could have, at times, Lively, Flag, Anthony Davis, theoretically. Are Biggs legitimately back?
And Gafford.
You got to love it. But who's playing point guard for the Milwaukee Bucks next season? Are they really going to play the ignominious Kevin Porter Jr. at point guard? I don't know, man. Second rounder Mark Sears, like, here's the ball.
Is Gary Trent Jr. going to be their ball handler? He re-upped with them yesterday.
When the ball hits his hands, it's going up.
Yeah.
He's letting it fly. He's not playmaking. That's an interesting situation there. I mean, that is not a trade you make if you're looking to move Giannis, if you think you're going to get forced.
A move you make.
No, he's a good big to play with Giannis. It's sort of as a Brook Lopez replacement. I just don't know where they're going in
ESPN
on the perimeter.
ESPN is showing Kevin Porter Jr. as their point guard right now.
Well, right now it is. But I just don't know. And it was going to be anyway because Lillard's out for the whole year.
Right.
I just don't know if that's. If you're trying to, you know, maybe they're going to take a year, maybe like the Grizzlies. Like, this is not a one-summer process, right?
But we're trying to get back to where we can make a run with Giannis.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris, we appreciate it, my man. Thank you.
Thanks.
That is Chris Harrington. You can read his full recap of what happened yesterday for the Grizzlies over at the Daily Memphian. When we come back, Charles Fishman joins the program. Fish on Friday, on Tuesday, next here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM. Yes.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Please now to welcome our man in Washington, D.C. He, of course, is Charles Fishman, the author of 4 New York Times bestsellers. He's also a 3-time winner of the Gerald Loeb Award for Outstanding Writing in the Business Sector. He, of course, is a retired Mississippi tugboat deck boat hand. He's on Twitter, on X, at C. Fishman. Charles, good day, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Well, I know people have been hanging on the question of what's happening with the 40-ton tree that's lying across our yard.
You know, you sarcastically remark, but my wife, ever since listening last week, our neighbors have a tree that is very dead, and she has been like franticking research, like what does her big fear is that tree comes down on our house and we have to pay for it now. Thanks to you. Thank you for that.
Well, okay, but that's actually important.
Well, yeah,
right?
If it comes down on the house, that's good. Yeah, kind of.
First of all, if the tree is dead, you guys should graciously approach the neighbors, which is hard, and say, listen, we've had friends who had a tree fall on their house in a recent storm. We're looking at this tree. We'd like to get it assessed. We'll be happy to, you know, pay the fee to have somebody come look at it. But it looks to us like that tree needs to come down, and it's a hazard to your house. It's a hazard to our house, and it's a danger. It's not just the house, right? Literally 2 blocks from here, a work friend of mine had a tree half the size of the tree that fell on our yard fall on their bedroom in the house where they raised their children at whatever it was, 7, 8 o'clock at night. They weren't in the bedroom, but if they'd been in the bedroom, they'd be dead. Like, the city came, that happened on Thursday, the city of Washington came the next day to look at everything, and they helpfully revoked the certificate of occupancy on the house. They said, this house is so badly damaged, don't even think about spending the night in your other bedrooms. You're banned from using it. So you wanna do that. There's this whole mythology about trees. The part of the tree on your yard is your responsibility. The part of the tree on the yard of the other person is their responsibility. This tree begins in our neighbor's yard, crosses our yard, and into a third yard. His insurance company doesn't pay to remove it from our yard. That's just not the way it works. And so actually, we've now had 5 tree companies come to the house.
Okay.
And they do actually look up and say, while we're here, some branches over there, it's like looking at a car with dents in it. If the front, bumper had a dent, you wouldn't fail to notice it while walking around the car. That's the way tree guys are. Now, so your wife is right. It's a little hard conversation, but, on a Saturday morning, wander over there and say, we really want to have a conversation about this because it could be a big problem. Our insurance company has asked us in the wake of all, you can even blame them. But the best update from here on the 40-ton, $40,000 tree is we had the highest rated tree trim company in the Washington area finally were able to come out yesterday after a week. They have so much business. They just have the best reviews on Google and Yelp. And the guy, Jamie, walked around. He's been doing trees since 1980. I was a sophomore in college when he started doing trees.
I was 8 years from being born.
You were 8 years, and he looked around and he said, well, he said, Charles, tell you what, I'm not going to give you a bid on this job because it's too complicated. I've been doing this a long time. We're really busy right now. And this just looks like it's going to be, and he paused. I said, a real pain in the neck, huh? He said, yeah, I'd use a stronger word. He said, I wish you good luck.
So,
and anyway,
the $18,000 assessment, or what do we got? Estimate.
Yeah.
Did the other 4 yeah. come back as?
We got a 12. This is just for our side, and then we have 2 that we're waiting on, and the 12 is being updated with some new information.
Oh boy.
And we're going on vacation on Thursday morning. So this is all going to wait. We're actually going to pick somebody, but we're not going to. My wife really wants to be here. This is not the kind of thing you want done. The problem is that all the trees on the yard are in the backyard, which is where literally Rock Creek Park begins. The forest begins. And so they are out of reach of the cranes. People who want to bring in cranes are like, even with a 130-foot boom.
Yeah.
Those trees are way, way, way far away. Also, when you extend a crane to its full extension and then you want to pick things up, you have much less leverage. A crane that, sitting in the street could lift 3 tons, 6,000 pounds off your driveway, might only be able to lift 2,000 pounds when it's fully extended or less. And you're lifting things you don't know the weight of. You're guessing. It's not
correct.
Construction site. So people are, and just in case anybody's curious, the cranes cost $4,000 a day. That's where the cranes are.
No, it is funny though, when you threw out the $18,000 estimate, I can't think of another business where I'm like, I don't think they're screwing you. I just think that's like what it costs. You know what I mean?
It's the whole thing is scary in so many different ways. And the funny thing is they talk about it like you must have the $18,000 in a jar under the
right.
under the kitchen sink.
Yeah, hang on,
right?
let me get right to you. Do you take check?
Right. No, that's all they take. That's exactly right. I'm like, I don't actually have $18,000 sitting around. So anyway, There will be more updates as time goes on, but I just want you to know that the final word from one of the most qualified and well-regarded tree guys is, yeah, we're gonna wave off.
We're gonna pass.
We're just gonna say no.
We're just gonna pass on that bid. I appreciate it.
He's a really nice guy.
Which is also a nice place to be in, right? That you can sit there and go, I could do this, but I got other stuff to do.
Yeah. Yeah. He actually, as he left, he said, Charles, I'm going to be really curious to see how this one works out.
Yeah, send me pictures.
I said, Jamie, you drive past here all the time, I suspect. You just knock on the door in a month and I'll show you how it worked out. Okay, we have good news to start.
Let's do that.
An amazing little story that I don't think is getting enough attention. A five-year-old girl fell off a Disney cruise ship.
Good boy.
On Sunday afternoon, returning from the Bahamas to Fort Lauderdale. Right, that's got to be your nightmare. I don't know if you've ever been on a cruise ship, but
I got drunk on a boat for 7 days. I don't like to say that I went cruising because it was my senior trip.
You got drunk on a boat.
Yes.
Well, but even that experience, at some point you were looking over the side of the boat. These ships are 12 stories tall, and most places they're really well protected. The edges are, you know, the sides are really well protected. It's unclear how the five-year-old fell off the ship. When people fall into the ocean from these ships, typically it's at 1 a.m. from their balcony, and they're drunk,
uh-huh.
And they're never heard from again.
Yep.
They're never heard from again. No one discovers that they're missing till the morning, even though the ships have watches and people constantly, you know, looking. And there's probably four people on watch on a ship like this, on the crew that runs the ship, watching for what's happening in the ocean. The five-year-old fell off broad daylight from deck four. Unclear what that means, whether four up from the ocean or literally the fourth deck, which might even be closer to the ocean. And then her father jumped in. And her father held her up and dog paddled for somewhere between 10 and 20 minutes. The ship was
Were they in the sea?
Full steam in the ocean,
God.
Headed from the Bahamas to Fort Lauderdale. There was an immediate, somebody saw it, and they sounded the quote-unquote secret alarm, Mr. M.O.B., Mr. M.O.B., alert. That's Mr. Man Overboard. So the ship immediately swung around and launched not a lifeboat, but what's called a tender, a little boat that you can drop into the ocean very quickly. And they zoomed over. I mean, they were a good half mile away by the time they were able to get the ship, the little tender launched, and they rescued them both. They were able to rescue them both. So they haven't released their names. Disney's not saying much except congratulations to our crew. There's lots of, if you want to look at this on TikTok, there's lots of TikTok videos, Father Overboard on Disney Dream. But what a nice little happy ending, and the ship docked as usual, yesterday morning in Fort Lauderdale. So don't fall off the ship. There you go, though. That's what being a dad is. You don't even think. In you go.
No, you just actually describe my nightmare, because I can already tell my daughter's going to be predisposed to be a Disney girl. And she just can't wait. She has an active mind, I'll say that. And she's got places to go, people to see, places to be. So you just truly described like my nightmare.
Well, there's two different nightmares. It now costs $400 a day for a family of four to go to Disney World. So,
well, then speaking of TikTok and Disney, like, did you see the story about the dad sharing? I think he had two girls, his wife and him. They did the character breakfast.
Yeah.
And it was like $1,500 bucks.
Yeah. But the one thing, right. So for people who don't know, you can, I guess, buy breakfast with the Disney characters at one of the Disney resorts in Orlando, in Disney World. But you're not buying breakfast right?
You're buying an experience.
A theater performance.
Of course, yes.
You're buying a theater performance, a one-on-one theater performance. So he focused on, we got oatmeal and we got fried eggs. But the real thing that he was buying was the experience of immersing his daughters with the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then the breakfast was thrown in. So I thought that was a little misleading. I'll be honest, we're way off the topic, but we took our kids to Disney World. My daughter, they were probably 11 and 8, something like that, maybe 10 and 7. my daughter was thrilled, and she was ready to go. And whatever, the night or two nights before, we were visiting family. We have family in Florida, and I offered our son $100 and any movie he wanted to see instead of going to Disney World. Wasn't even a thought for a minute. Took the $100. We went to see some great movie. You know, it wasn't Star Wars, but whatever moment it was at that time, we went to some big multiplex. We went to Waffle House, which love. And
you did it right.
And so both, I saved at least $200, and he had a good time, and I didn't have to listen to 5 years after that of how we dragged him to Disney, and my wife and daughter had a great time at Disney World. So there's ways of doing it. There's ways of doing it. And he's never been to Disney World to this day. One day. He might have kids of his own.
All right. So we've got the big beautiful bill.
Yeah, let's do the bit. You do that very well. So we have no idea what's going to happen with the big beautiful bill. Will the Senate pass a version? Have they passed it while we're talking? And then all the things the Senate did to it, it goes back to the House of Representatives, and then they have to agree. They can't pass different versions of the bill ultimately. The bill has to be voted, approved by both houses with identical language. It's 1,000 pages. So the Senate has made a lot of changes. Donald Trump asked that this be done by Friday, by July 4th. I'm going to confidently predict that there's no way, even if the Senate passes it today, Tuesday, it's just the kind of thing where a group of senators and a group of House members are going to have to sit down in a room, literally pick every one of the 40 places they pass different versions and come to agreement. Then they have to go back to their respective House and Senate and get everybody to agree on the changes they just made to the changes. So that's just not going to happen by Friday. But I wanted to tease out a couple things that people are excited about. I think there are some things in this bill that I'm very nervous about. A lot of talk about no tax on tips. It's in both bills. It's up to $25,000 in tipped income. By the way, that means you have to declare your tipped income on your taxes to get the quote-unquote tax-free part. Lots of people just put their tips in their pocket. And that's not legal, but that's the way of keeping your tips tax-free. Today, of course, a lot of those tips are on...
I was going to say, I wonder and now, because everyone's just getting a tip check now, like, right. I wonder how many people actually get tipped in cash.
Right. So that's why this becomes much more appealing. But you still have to pay state income tax and local income tax. I think there's no state income tax in Tennessee and Florida. But most places there's state income tax. And you're still paying Social Security tax and Medicare tax. So the calculation from one of the nonpartisan groups is that the average savings for a tipped worker in America will be $1,675 a year if they do the work to take it off their taxes. That's $140 a month. As somebody pointed out, it'd be much better for people to raise the minimum wage $2. That would help a lot more than no tax on tips. Only 2.5% of Americans are tipped workers, 4 million people, and a third of those make so little money that the no tax on tips doesn't apply because they already don't pay taxes. No tax on overtime. Okay, this is another one that's very exciting. Lots of people do earn overtime, and some of those people are well paid. So this could be big. It's $12,500, up to $12,500 in overtime pay, or $25,000 for a married couple filing jointly. But they're going to tax it. And then they're going to report your overtime pay separately in a new box on your W-2. So you start out exactly the same way in 2026. Then you take the $12,500 off your taxes as income.
Okay.
And then you get to save 20 or 25% of the $12,500. So you're still going to have to pay the taxes up front, and then you get them back when you file on April 15th, and you get a little bigger refund check, or you can reduce your withholding. No tax on Social Security, simply not true. They're going to raise the standard deduction for tax-exempt Social Security from $2,000 to $6,000 or $2,000 to $8,000. So anybody who's making with their Social Security sort of $80,000 a year or more, and a lot of people get $40,000 in Social Security and then they work, this isn't going to help them that much. The tax deduction on interest on car loans is really interesting. The average car loan is $43,000 today at 10%. So what we're going to offer is that the interest on the loan will be tax deductible, but only on new loans. If you have a loan already,
right.
Participate. And only on cars made in America. We haven't really determined what that means. Again, the average savings is going to be a $3,000 deduction in year one, which translates into $500 in your pocket, or about $40 a month. Don't base your car purchase or your car loan on getting that deduction. That's not, it's a little bonus if you do it, but that's not the way to pick the car you want or the loan you want. Get a good loan. Most important, all four of these things expire at the end of 2028. They are set to last only through the administration of Donald Trump, and everything goes back to how it is right now, starting in 2029. The reason for that is they're very costly. And the way they're passing this particular law on taxes and spending, it has to have zero impact over time. And so they're putting those things in place until 2028, because if they leave them in place permanently, the next 6 years run up the deficit. And so they're kicking the can in classic Washington fashion down the road and saying, if everybody ends up liking this, you'll have to renew it in 2028. When that Congress is in session. So that's a little bit of detail. There's some savings there, but it's not like somebody's going to be sending you a check for $2,000. Quickly, the tariffs were suspended. The worldwide tariffs that Donald Trump imposed in April were suspended on April 9th for 90 days. 90 days is July 9th, 1 week from tomorrow. So next week is going to be kind of exciting in tariff land, maybe in stock market land as well, as the tariffs either come back into force or the White House announces deals with nations, or Donald Trump extends the waiver for another month while he irons out the details. Anyway, just a reminder that we haven't really felt the impact of the tariffs at all, but we could start feeling it if the tariffs swing back into place.
All right. So
how much time do we have?
We've got about 6 minutes, so we can do the hurricane. I think we got time for both.
For both. Okay. Good. So this was a kind of terrible secret announcement 2 days ago. We use microwave data to predict hurricanes. They measure, they bounce microwaves off the weather and see, they can understand how the weather's doing based on using microwaves from satellites. And the principal satellites they use happen to be Department of Defense satellites. The Department of Defense, the Pentagon, does some of its own weather forecasting because weather really matters. And they've been sharing data with the National Weather Service and the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Association, NOAA, to do hurricane forecasting for decades. And on I think Friday of last week or Saturday, DOD announced that they were terminating sharing the microwave data. And they didn't give a reason. And even the Washington Post, writing a story this morning, wasn't able to get DOD to explain why they won't share the data anymore. But what that does is send hurricane forecasting back to 1999. Here's the problem. We have no trouble monitoring hurricanes in daylight. It's a little weird. But overnight, it's dark. You can't use visual imagery of the hurricanes to see what they're doing. And so we use microwave data to measure them. And in the last 5 years, hurricanes have developed a new quality, new factor trait. They explode in power overnight. They move forward into the warmer water in the Gulf of Mexico, near New Orleans, near Houston, near West Florida, in the Atlantic, near the east coast of Florida. And then one night, they suddenly go from a 2 to a 5, and literally in 12 hours. And if we can't watch them overnight, we are going to wake up. They call it the sunrise surprise. So that's just something to put on your radar.
We'll monitor.
Screen.
Yeah.
The Department of Defense was so upset at the reaction that they postponed the end of the data for a month to the end of July. So we'll see what happens there. But I predict a bad hurricane season if that happens. In other hurricanes, quickly, crazy decision, Cracker Barrel, whose slogan is the old country store, has come and headquartered in Lebanon, Tennessee, founded in September 1969, Cracker Barrel has decided to declutter and redecorate its stores. So instead of rolling pins and farm plows and fruit boxes and frying pans and tchotchkes everywhere, they're cleaning up the stores. The new decor has, for instance, a wall-sized framed collage of rolling pins. 30 rolling pins in a frame, beautifully arranged. 30 flour sifters in a frame, beautifully arranged. That's not Cracker Barrel.
No, this to me reminds me of it. This is something you and I can appreciate. Who was the CEO from Target that came over to Walmart and he wanted to do clean store, clean floor? He got rid of like the displays in the middle of the aisles, and it was just a disaster. This just reminds me of like you don't even know what you are anymore. Like you're losing your identity.
Right. 660 restaurants, 40 have been redone. Tennessee is number 3 in total locations. Florida 60, Texas 55, Tennessee 51, Georgia 48. Those four states have a third of the stores. So the new decor is beautiful and arty, but it literally changes the atmosphere, right? That's not.
Yeah, I don't go to Cracker Barrel for an art display.
Right. Well, we'll see. Publicly traded company, by the way.
This reeks of private equity. This is a story you and I got to talk about offline. Like the private equity getting into restaurants and cleaning. Like restaurants have no soul anymore.
The main question, this is a Wall Street Journal scoop, really nicely done Wall Street Journal story. The main question was from disappointed fans of the restaurant, where's the stuff going and can we buy it?
Yeah, that's fair. On a discount.
Cracker Barrel really didn't like the Wall Street Journal writing this story, and all they said was, we're either reusing it or we're selling it, so you can't have it. The last thing they want is Cracker Barrel fans creating their own memorial Cracker Barrel living rooms. Here's what the restaurant used to be like. So if you love the old-style Cracker Barrel, get over there soon and make your views known.
Thank you, Charles.
All right, guys, have a good July 4th. It's my favorite holiday. Read a few paragraphs of the Declaration of Independence, a really remarkable document.
We'll
talk in a week.
We the people. He is Charles Fishman. We got to get out of here. What's coming up next on Jason and John? Anthony Sain is going to join their program. Cobb will be with me today. DeMichael Cole is going to join us. Jeff will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock. Want to thank George for keeping it rolling here. We are out of time. We'll try to do better tomorrow, but for now, our work here is done.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.